Book of Amos, the book of Amos. If you have a Scofield Bible, page 939. And if not, if you'll go to Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then the book of Amos. So the last big book in the Old Testament's Ezekiel. And then just start going from there. And you don't have to go very far, you'll come to the book of Amos. The book of Amos has 9 chapters, so you'll be able to find it. But I'll give you just a moment to find Amos chapter 8. I don't know if I said which chapter. I really desire your prayers today that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts from His Word. Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 8, we'll read verses 11 down through the end of this chapter, verse number 14. And you might be familiar with this scripture, or at least heard it before, but it says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for letting us be here today, for the many blessings that You've given us. Lord, I just pray for Your help today. As I look around this morning, I don't think there's a visitor among us. If so, we want them to be welcome, but Lord, to just us here today, I pray that You would speak to us as Your children, as Your family, as a church gathered together as we prepare our hearts and think about revival. We think about the Word of God. We think about or should be thinking about what You would desire to do in our midst. Lord, I pray that we would truly hear with our inward man, the word of the Lord, that we would not have a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. As it seems that we are living in a day that's exactly where we are. Lord, I pray for good liberty today. I pray that You would speak to our hearts, and I pray that You'd help us as only You can, and we'll thank You. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. I do desire your prayers that the Lord would help us today. And I want to go back and read verse number 11. The Bible said there, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, if you know anything about Amos was just a country boy. His name means to be a burden bearer is what that means. And he was called of the Lord to preach to the religious annual festival. And we were talking in Sunday school this morning how in Israel, yesterday was the festival or the feast of Yom Kippur. And that's the Day of Atonement. And they're still carrying out these annual feasts and celebrations, talking about the children of Israel. But Amos was called to go and preach during one of these. Well, he was not accepted very well. He was just a nobody. If you look in chapter 7 and verse number 14, look what Amos said over there. He said, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." There's a little short testimony about Amos and his upbringing. And he said, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't a son of a prophet. I was just a herdsman. I kept sheep. And the Lord called me and the Lord sent me to prophesy unto my people Israel. And so I want us to look at this today. And this is actually, I told Kim this morning, I said, I'm going to preach an old message. But you know, every preacher that's preaching like he ought to is preaching an old message. Better beware of those preaching a new message. But I have preached from Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 about there being a famine in the land before, years ago. In fact, I actually preached out of this same passage of Scripture. I looked this morning just out of curiosity. I preached out of this here at Mount Lebanon, April the 10th, I think it was, or the 15th, 1995. That's almost 20 years ago. So if you remember this real good and you get bored this morning, I'm sorry, but I doubt if I hadn't told you if you'd have known, unless you write in your Bible. But I preached out of this, not this exact same message, out of using the same verses, but every once in a great while, it's really difficult to get a message from the Lord. Now, I'm thankful down through the years I've not really had that problem. Most of the time, I pretty much know what I'm preaching on. Sometimes even Wednesday or Thursday night or maybe even on Monday, I'll start thinking and praying about something and studying a passage of Scripture out. And so most of the time, I don't struggle with that, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes you get down to Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and boy, now that's getting down to a lot of pressure on a preacher. What am I going to preach on? What am I going to preach on? I was thinking about it yesterday. I couldn't get settled on anything, and I was studying here a little while and couldn't get started in anything. And I thought to myself, as I was going through the house there, I thought, you know, a lot of people, all they would think about on Saturday is I've got some work to get done, or I'm going to watch a ball game, or I'm going to go to a ball game. And a preacher can never relax on a Saturday and just say, well, I don't have anything to worry about. He's thinking about what he's going to preach on Sunday, but I couldn't get settled. And I've gone through that before. And originally, years ago, I was going through a time like that, and the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture. And when I get to the place where I cannot get anything from the Lord, I go back and I think about Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that the Lord told the children of Israel, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. God said, I'm going to send a famine one day. Not of bread, not of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. What if we did not hear from heaven anymore? What if there was such a famine? And I believe across America there's a lot that do not hear the words of the Lord. It's not that the words of the Lord are not being preached or not being proclaimed, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Just that we got to the place where we didn't hear the word of God anymore. It's being preached, it's there, but we don't really hear it. We probably go through times like that. You've probably been to church before and went home and thought to yourself, I didn't really get anything out of that. There's a fact, not that the word of God wasn't preached, but you just didn't hear it. What if we got to a place where we come and we just sang the songs, but we really never heard the songs in our heart? What if we got to a place where we come to church and the Spirit of God just didn't meet with us like He did once upon a time? And sad thing about it, we didn't really pay much attention to it, didn't notice that the Lord was not in our midst. That's a dangerous place to get into. At my house, my life, I like a routine. I do pretty much the same thing on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. And I've got a routine of life. And During the summer, I noticed I get up in the morning, look out, and there was some doves. They come and they light in my driveway just about every morning, about three or four doves. And they pick around in the gravel there, and they might, one of them be on my neighbor's roof across the road, and I got to enjoying watching those doves and paying attention to them. You know, a dove in the Bible is a type of the Holy Ghost of God. But I got to thinking about this morning. I thought, it's been a while since I've seen those doves in the morning. I wonder what happened to them. They got gone and I didn't pay any attention. I didn't really notice it. And I wonder in church sometimes if that's not how we do. The Spirit of God gets to missing and we just go on and we just go on through our routine and we sing our songs and we have the message and we have the invitation, but we're not really hearing the words of the Lord. We're not hearing from heaven. Well, Amos said the day's coming, there'll be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And you know that came to pass exactly as Amos said. There's in the Bible from the book of Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament, until the book of Matthew, it's called the 400 silent years. 400 years God didn't send a prophet. 400 years there's no books of the Bible. 400 years heaven is as brass, and God spoke not a word unto the children of Israel for 400 years. God said, today's coming. You better wake up. You better pay attention. You better not take it for granted, Israel, because today's going to come. You're not going to hear the word of the Lord anymore. Let's look in the book of Amos and notice the conditions that brought about a famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. Number one, there'll be a famine in the land when the morality of God's people is low. When the morality of God's people is low. And that's what had happened in the days of Amos. Now, it's not something that happened in a month. It's not something that happened in a year or in 5 years or in 10 years. There's a whole history of Israel getting right with God, getting wrong with God, getting right, getting wrong, getting right, getting wrong, over and over. And here's the thing. When God's people go away from the Lord, they go a little farther every time. They stay gone a little longer every time. And there eventually comes a time where they get so far away and it's been so long that they don't come back. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, it said, in those days the word of the Lord was precious. There was no vision. There was no open vision. It means that God was not speaking from heaven. Yes, there was a tabernacle, and yes, there was a high priest, but there was no prophet from the Lord. There was no word of God. Until Samuel comes upon the scene. That's the passage of Scripture where Hannah brings little Samuel and presents him before the Lord. And he's going to be God's mouthpiece. He's going to be the one that anoints Samuel and anoints David and speaks to them and sort of gets the nation back on track. But you know, right before that, it said in the book of Judges, the last chapter, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What led to a time in the nation of Israel where God didn't speak to them any longer was that every man was doing just what he wanted to do. Does that sound like our day and time or not? Well, I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about Christian people. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Well, but here's what the Bible says. Well, I don't think that's what it means. Oh, that was written a long time ago. You ever heard anybody say that? These are different times. Oh, the Bible, that's old. That's thousands of years old. We're living in modern times. We're living in times of great education. We're living in times of great technology. And who'd ever thought we'd live in such a day as we live? Where anywhere you go, you can talk to anybody that's anywhere else in the world, as long as you got a little tiny phone you can stick in your pocket. That's amazing. We're living in days like that. But we're also living in days where every man does what's right in his own eyes. And it doesn't really matter to a lot of people what thus saith the Lord says. Look in chapter 8, verse number 4, what Amos said. He said, "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath day, that we may set forth the wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat." You know what they were concerned about that Amos was preaching to them about? They said, "Boy, we can't wait till church is over. Boy, we can't wait till the Sabbath day is over. Boy, we can't wait till the new moon is over so we can get back to doing what we really love to do, and that's make money any way we can and every way we can." Now, I know that's not a way to get people to shouting and hollering in church and everything, is to preach about things that we love as much as we love. But I'm telling you, that's what they were doing in the nation of Israel. They said, "We can't wait to get through this religious time so we can get back to making money. We can get back to doing what we can't do on the Sabbath day." Now, used to preachers preach on the Lord's day. And they called it the Sabbath day. And once upon a time, people wouldn't buy gas on Sunday. They wouldn't go out to eat on Sunday. They certainly wouldn't go shopping on Sunday because there was nowhere to go shop. They sure didn't play sports on Sunday and lay out of church to go to races on Sunday. Amen. The Lord's day was honored. It's a day of rest and worship and spend with your family. I know I've preached and told you this before, but my dad said his grandpa Andy, they'd let him play ball on Sunday, but they couldn't yell. Couldn't yell. They had to have a silent baseball game. That's hard to imagine. They started compromising, didn't they? "Well, we'll let you do this." I'm not saying you can't recreate on Sunday or take a walk or do something leisurely. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that if you can rest. But I'm telling you, the Lord's day is just like any other day of the week in our nation. People mow their yards. People cut wood. People go shopping. People go to ball games. You get out here on the road, you'll get run over. Doesn't mean anything to us. The morality of God's people is low, and that is where we are in America today. Morals. We abort babies and at the same time try to save premature babies. That's a big contrast, isn't it? Have you noticed that? I mean, more and more, and thank the Lord that there's technology when a baby cannot be carried to full term, that they can incubate, or they can keep and bring that baby. And I've known through the years several little babies that have been born that could fit in the palm of your hand. And they'll go to any lengths. What's that cost? I have no idea. It doesn't matter, does it? Save that little baby's life and bring it along. What a joy, what a blessing. And you'll see some of these preemies. Well, they grow up healthy and normal and just as big, no matter that they started off so small, as any of the rest of them. Thank the Lord. But I'm telling you, in our nation, we're murdering the same little children. What's wrong with us? That doesn't bother us like it should. It ought to bother us, ought to tear us up. We're living in a day where the morality of God's people is very, very low, and there's all kinds of things goes on among God's people in the church. Once upon a time, it would have been a great scandal. And the church would have come together and they'd have prayed and they'd have said, "We got to do something about this. We'll have to put out from among us We don't have that anymore. Anything, everything, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, but God still calls us to be holy. 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy for I am holy. Holy, God said. God said to be holy, not unholy. But when the morality of God's people is low, there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord in the land. Number two, when the worship of God is forsaken. And that's what had happened in the nation of Israel. Elijah came along and he, 1 Kings 18, verse number 30, what did he have to do? The Bible said over there, he had to repair the altar of the Lord. They'd stopped worshiping God. There's 450 prophets of Baal. There's no shortage of false prophets. There's all around. But the worship of the Lord had been forsaken. Look here in the Bible in chapter number 5, verse number 21, I believe it is. Talking about the worship of God being forsaken. Amos said this. He said in chapter 5, verse 21, this is what God said. He said, I despise your feast days. That was their worship of the Lord. God said, I hate it. I despise it. And I will not smell your solemn assemblies, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. God said, you're going through the motions, but I hate it. You're coming and you're being religious and you're doing what I said to do, but God said, I will not accept it. Let me tell you, God is not obligated just to accept any old thing. God is not obligated to accept just whatever we decide we're going to offer unto Him. He said in verse 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. I really believe this, and I don't care who hears it. A lot of the music so-called in churches today is nothing more than noise. I'm talking about this contemporary beat of the world, sound of the world, borrowed from the world, copied from the world. You say, preacher, I like that. You get to liking that, and it won't be long. You won't be satisfied with old-time religion. You'll have to have something new. If I'm going to listen to rock and roll, I'll just listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Say, preacher, I can't believe you. At least I'd know they're heathen. At least I'd know they're lost. At least I know where they're coming from. They're not pretending to try to be nothing else. But buddy, this crowd that wants to get a rock and roll song and a set of drums and beat along and attribute that to worshiping God, I believe God said that's a bunch of noise in my ears. Oh, but there's some good lyrics. Hey, there's a message in the beat. There's a message in the beat of every song, and it's either going to be unto the Lord or it's going to be of the flesh and of the world, and you cannot mix those two things together. What God said in chapter 8 and verse number 3. God said, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. I believe there's a lot of howling going along. Well, did you hear Carrie Underwood's new song? What is it? There's something in the water. Talking about going being baptized, getting changed. Oh, isn't that pretty? Well, sure it's pretty. Pretty melody, pretty voice. All that doesn't mean it lines up with the Word of God. That doesn't mean to bring it in the house of God. It's doctrinally incorrect. It's saying that you get saved, you get changed by being baptized. That's false. But I knew it wouldn't be long. Somebody'd be talking about, we need to sing that in church. No, you need to leave that out in the world. Leave that stuff out in the world. If I die and anybody gets up and sings Go Rest on the Mountain, I want y'all to throw a songbook at them and shout them down. I don't know how many funerals I've heard that at, and I still haven't figured out what it's talking about. There's no scriptural point of reference in a lot of this that is passed off as music in the church. You say, preacher, you going to chase a rabbit this morning? Well, I hadn't chased one in a while. I hate that stuff. Let's just not pretend. Let's not pretend that's worshiping God. If you want to worship God, get an old songbook and sing there's power in the blood. Not something in the water. There's power in the blood to change and cleanse and make an old sinner white as snow. That's where there's power at. Not in some emotional appeal. You can get your emotions stirred up with all that stuff. God said, I don't like your noise. I don't like your howlings in the temple. Wish you'd cut it out. And that's causing problems in a lot of churches in Watauga County today. So I hope somebody will pass it along. If you got problems with that junk, kick it out. Get the old songbook and worship God in spirit and in truth. Because that's the only way you're going to worship God, trying to please this crowd. They ain't never going to tithe. They ain't never going to get in and be faithful to church. Amen. Going to ride along on the old people till they get rid of them, and then they think they'll have it. They won't have a church in 20 years. You can't build a church pleasing the flesh. Because that crowd that'll come for a hot dog will leave for a pizza down the road. Amen. Let's just keep the old songbook. Somebody said, I like the singing at Mount Lebanon. I do too. Let's just keep it. I commend you. I don't know how many people have told me over the years, preacher, I like your radio broadcast. I like your choir. I like them old songs they sing. I get a blessing out of that. We begin to forsake the worship of God, and I'm telling you, it won't be long. There'll not be any more hearing the word of the Lord. Because when you get where you can't take that out of that red book, it won't be long you won't be able to take that out of that old black book. Hey, man. God said there's coming a day. You're not even going to hear the word of the Lord. That's where we are. Teachers having itching ears. Please us, preacher. Tell us something nice. That's what we want to hear. And don't take too long. Don't be too loud. Let's be like the world. When the worship of God is forsaken. Number three, when the man of God is in low regard. Look over in chapter 7, verse number 10. The Bible said in Amos chapter 7, verse 10, then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Now, Amos had been down there preaching the word of the Lord. And somebody in the administration of Jeroboam, that's who the king was, got wind of it. Went and told the king. Said Amos down there preaching, and what he's preaching, well, he said something bad about the president. He said, God's going to judge him. I don't think preachers ought to be involved in politics. You ever heard anything like that? Amos was. Amos said, Jeroboam's going to die by the sword. And the nation's going to be led away into captivity. If we don't get right with God, the judgment of God's coming down on us. That's what Amos was saying. Verse number 12 said, also Amaziah said unto Amos, Jeroboam got his little lawyer to go down there. Amaziah got somebody higher up to go down there, got one of them false prophets to go down there, said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. He said, Amos, get on out of here. We don't want to hear that stuff. That's what happened. We don't want to hear that message. Go out into the land. Go out into one of them country churches. Preach out there. Do something out there, but get out of here. Get out of the city. Get out of where the population is. We don't want to hear what you've got to say. The man of God's in low regard. Once upon a time in our nation, the presidents cared what the preacher had to say. The president cared what the man of God had to say. Each president, all up until modern times, about two or three ago, at least had somebody that had some knowledge of God that they would go to and talk with. But I'm telling you now, all that's out the window. We don't want to hear about that. I watched some of that baseball game last night up in Washington, D.C. And they kept saying, our nation's capital. Our nation's capital. And within about 10 minutes, I seen four of them Washington National baseball players mouth some of the awfulest cursing that you can imagine. They didn't catch it, but you could see what they said. I told Abigail, I said, I can't. Oh, she said that again. I know that's what he said. I said, I hope they lose. I said, God, please let them lose. They deserve to lose. For they were doing good and winning and then got to cussing. I said, God, please let them lose. And 6 hours later, God answered my prayer. The next day, God answered my prayer. Some of you may not know, but it's the longest game in postseason history. Played last night, 6 hours and 27 minutes. When they started cussing, I said, God, let them lose. And I believe that's why they lost. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. My prayer's just as valid as yours. I believe God answered that prayer. I wished I hadn't stayed up to seen it. I should have just went to bed in faith. When the man of God is in low regard. Preacher, we don't care what you've got to say. We don't want to hear what you've got to say. We've heard enough of that judgment. We've heard it. We don't want to hear about that. The man of God's in low regard. The Bible says that the man of God that studies and preaches the Word of God, 1 Timothy 5:17, is worthy of double honor. I'd rather have a good preacher than the best lawyer in the country. I'd rather have a good preacher than the best doctor, the specialist that knew more about my problem than it. I'd rather have a good man of God that could pray and cause a baseball team to lose, wouldn't you? Oh, preacher, I don't know about that. Our nation would be far better off if people would listen to what the man of God had to say. If they'd listen to what some preachers, some good, godly preachers had to say. But there'll be a famine in the land when people get the attitude. Don't want to hear that no more. But you just get on out of here. Number four, when the message of God is ignored. Look what it said in chapter 7, verse 13, what Amaziah said. He said, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. They said, we don't want no preaching in the capital. That's what he said. Don't prophesy here again anymore. At Bethel, look what it said. For it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. I'd like to make a correction right there. It's the Lord's chapel. It's the Lord's court. It's the Lord's nation. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's pulpit. When the message of God is ignored, Jeremiah 6:16, I've preached that. I've quoted that thousands of times. You know what it says. Thus saith the Lord, standing in ways and seeing, ask for the old paths, where's the good way? Walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're tired hearing about them old paths. We're going to ignore the Word of God. Aren't we getting along good in our nation? You think about it. We got trouble on so many hands, nobody knows what to do. They're even beginning to admit in the mainstream newspaper. This past week I was reading, they're talking about something's got to give economically. We can't go on like this. This bubble, people starting to confess what we've known all along. You cannot live on debt indefinitely. The chickens come home to roost. And they said, when it does, it's going to be bad. Now, God's people's been saying that for a long time. But they've come to the place they're going to have to start letting people know a little bit. We've got enemies on the out and on the in. We've got disease now come to our country. I was listening to talk radio coming on Thursday night. Boy, I'm telling you, that'll cause you to stay up and not be able to sleep. They're talking about Ebola and all that mess out in Texas and how that that same day I heard somebody get on the radio and they said, what's happened in Africa will not happen here. We are too advanced. We have too many safeguards in place. They said emphatically, it'll never happen in America. And that night coming home, I was listening to him talking about it. The ambulance driver that picked up that man that had Ebola drove around for 2 days. Nobody even told him. How many people did he haul around? How many well people, how many people had a broke leg did he haul to the hospital? Don't tell me it won't ever happen in America. We're ripe. We're ripe for it. When the message of God is ignored, we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I doubt that. We sing All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. I doubt that. We sing I'd Rather Be an Old Time Christian Than Anything I Know. Do we really? Do we really? When the message of God is ignored, I've got to go on. Last of all this morning, when false gods are followed, look in chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible said, and they shall wander from sea to sea. Now this is after God said there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Verse 12 said, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. You don't want the word of God? Might come a day when you do, and you won't be able to find it. Look what it said in verse 13, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Where you get your thirst slacked? The word of God. Who's gonna reap the bad repercussions of rejecting the word of God? The young people. That's the young people in verse number 13. They'll seek, but they'll faint for thirst. Verse 14, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. Notice there, thy God, little g, the sin of Samaria was the false worship that was introduced by President Jeroboam when the wicked rise. Boy, we're living in a day. The wicked are on the rise, on the rise. We've had several successive presidents where you would think in your mind it couldn't get any worse than that big dummy. And then we get one that's worse. And then we've got one that's worse. And then we've got one that's worse. We might come to the day where we think Obama's better than the next one. I mean, if you're following trends, you say, oh, well, I like this one. We don't have anything to brag about. You got to go back a long ways to when I was a little boy to find somebody you might could say a little something good about. It's not led our nation down the wrong road. When false gods are followed and they'd been introduced to that false worship and they could not find the true and the living God. Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. Is there any hope for our nation? If there is, it's in the Lord. Is there any hope for our churches? In the Lord. Is there any hope for our families? In the Word of God, in the church, in revival, in the old time songs, there's hope. But God help us to never get to the place where we just don't even hear it anymore. Don't hear. How many have gone out, said, I don't want to hear that no more. They're no better off. They're worse off. Far worse off. God said they shall fall and never rise again. We ought to never take the Word of God for granted. Oh, well, just go to church. Preacher Wynn, he'll have a good message for us. He'll have something for us from the Word of God. Better not take that too for granted. See, if I have anything, it's from the Lord. And when I get to messing around Saturday night, Sunday morning, and I'm praying, I'm saying, God, I've got nothing. I've got boxes full of old messages and things that I've preached, and yeah, I could find something, but I don't want to ever get to the place where I'm just trying to find something. I want to hear what God has to say. But if God doesn't give me something, you and I'll have nothing. Or give it to somebody. Preachers just don't pull something. It's not like you don't pull a rabbit out of a hat. You got to have the touch of God. You got to have the green light from the Lord. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Let's don't ever take the Word of God for granted. The choir for granted. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God for granted. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. We think about revival coming up.